Before I read, let me mention unto you now that we've been studying for about 3 weeks or so God's plan of salvation. Now that is, how does God save people? And we saw the first week that salvation is based upon conviction. The Bible says in John chapter 16, Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And so we talked about sin, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that there is none good, no, not one, there's not a just person on earth that doeth good and sinneth not. We talked about the fact that by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, all have sinned. On and on, we discussed that. We saw, according to the Bible, that the conviction of the Holy Spirit is not that the Holy Spirit has come down, and that the Holy Spirit is here tonight, moving around between the seats in here. I've been in church services when I heard some evangelists pray and say, "Oh Spirit of God, walk among these pews tonight." And no, no, no. The Spirit of God is not walking among you tonight. He's not free, loose, roaming around in this building tonight. The Spirit of God is in the individuals. But we have the Word here that is that God's Spirit wrote. And if the Holy Spirit is going to convict of sin, then I must find it in the Word of God. If he's going to convict of righteousness, then I must find it in the Word of God. If he's going to convict of judgment, I must find it in the Word of God, you see. And so we saw by the Word of God that man is dead in trespasses and sin. We saw by the Word of God that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Word of God. He cannot know them because they're spiritually discerned. We saw that the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. We saw that the carnal man cannot understand the gospel of Christ. Paul said it is hid unto them, and they call it foolishness, but unto us which is saved, it is the power of God, and on. In other words, if you do not have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior tonight, then you are lost. You are dead in trespasses and sins. You are ignorant of God's righteousness and God's truth, and cannot know these things except you trust Christ as your Savior and the Spirit of God teach them unto you. Now, this is why that the world that lies out there today, which is lost, knows so much and know nothing at all when you press them about the Bible. You talk to them and they'll answer, they just know all about it. In fact, I've had people argue with me that the Bible said every tub shall sit on its own bottom. I'm not joking. You and I, you can get up and argue about anything in the Bible. And I've had them just argue like mad. Yeah, I know the Bible said that because I've heard that every tub shall sit on its own bottom. Baloney. That's probably in the ASB or the Moffat or the Williams or something that way. Or the Living Letters. No way. And then there's another phrase that I used to hear when I was in the Navy. It had to do with marriage and whatever, and committing adultery. And there was a phrase that they said was in the Bible that isn't there, and men would fight you to argue that it is there. Well, something like unto it is in Genesis chapter 38, but certainly not that statement. What am I saying? I'm saying that if you're not saved, you cannot understand the things of God. You cannot know the things of God. You can only know the things of God by the Spirit of God. I used to see signs on the wall where I used to work. And it said something to the effect, before operating mouth, be sure mind is in good. I think those are pretty good statements. There's people talk all the time about the Bible that know nothing about the Bible. Why do they know nothing about the Bible? Because they're not saved. They cannot know the Bible unless they get saved. They cannot receive the things of the Spirit unless they're saved. And then last week we talked about righteousness. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we talked about how that righteousness is as dung in the eyes of God. According to Philippians chapter 3, it's a stench in the nostrils of a holy and a righteous God. And if you're not saved tonight, let me tell you now, I wouldn't offend you for anything you are. But if you're not saved, let me just tell you right now that anything that you can do tonight in hope that you'll honor God in doing that is an abomination in His sight. The Bible said that the plowing of the lust is abomination in the sight. The Bible said the sacrifices of those that do not know Jesus is an abomination to God. If you gave money into an offering plate, hoping that by giving that money, you would gain some points with Almighty God, God said that's an abomination. That's why we never talk about worshiping God with your tithes and offerings. You can't worship God with money. God doesn't need our money. Our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Tonight, judgment. We want to talk about judgment. When He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will judge the world. That is, He will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there should be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the word of truth should be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the whole world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, thus to the filthy conversation of the wicked. Verse 8, for that righteous man, reference to Lot, dwelling among them and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust under the day of judgment to be punished. Well, then there is a day of judgment, according to this Bible. If we read on in the context, verse 11, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh, in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, they're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not a ruling accusation against them before the Lord, but those that are going to be judged as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. In other words, those that do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior are spoken of as natural brute beasts, and they're made to be taken and destroyed. That is not to say that God Almighty predestinated them unto eternal damnation. No way is He saying that. In other words, what He is really saying is that as a potter takes a piece of clay, you understand, a potter takes clay. He doesn't create clay. He doesn't make clay. A potter takes clay that already is. And a potter takes that clay and begins to mold that clay. And he molds that clay into that instrument that he needs. But you know, if the clay is not right, if the clay is bad, if the clay is wrong, then when he gets through with that he made, he destroys that. And then he makes it up and on and on and on. Here's the point. The gospel of Christ is the instrument that God Almighty uses today to mold men. And the gospel of Christ makes some people into brute beasts. made to be present and destroyed. That same gospel makes others into instruments of God's mercy and grace. The point being that when you hear the gospel of Christ, you either reject that gospel and get harder and meaner and more honor, or you receive that gospel of Christ and become a child of God and become more pliable to the word of God. These are natural virtues made to be taken and destroyed, not created by God to be destroyed, not made to be born into this world to be destroyed, but having heard the word of God, having heard the gospel preached and rejected it, are made into brute beasts. In other words, we talked about them last week. These brute beasts are part of a religious system, and they're instruments of God's wrath, and they shall be destroyed. Hold on to 2 Peter, and turn please to Romans, and look in Romans chapter 9, verse 20. Romans 9, verse 20. Know that a man heareth thou that replies against God, shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Have not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? Notice that the potter doesn't make the clay. He uses the clay that is already there. Well, God Almighty didn't make you be born. God Almighty didn't choose the day you'd be born. Your birth was based strictly upon the desire of your mother and your father. God Almighty never caused you to be born into this world, but since you're in this world, you'll become the clay that God Almighty uses the gospel on, and it is His desire to form you into an instrument of mercy and grace. But if you rebel against God, you will become an instrument of judgment and wrath. Let's read on, verse 22. What is God willing to make you, to show His wrath and to make His power known? Indeed, with much long-suffering, the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. In other words, the gospel of Christ is fitting them unto destruction. Verse 23, and that He might make known the riches of His glory and the vessels of mercy which He hath prepared unto glory, even as He was called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. If I were putting the board up here, and I'll say that this line here represents the world religious system. And it doesn't make any difference tonight, folks. You're either in the church, the body of Christ, or in the religious system. You're not neutral. There's something you believe tonight. I'll guarantee you. I mean, we could go around and go to every person in this building tonight, and I'll guarantee you there's something you believe that's associated with religion somewhere. I've never met one yet that wasn't. In other words, you got some form of religion somewhere. All right, this is a religious system. All right, in here, this represents the church, which is the body of Christ. This in here are those that believe that Jesus Christ died for the sins. I put back here, I say that right here is A.D. 33. In A.D. 33, Jesus Christ hung upon Calvary. God Almighty took your sins. God Almighty took the sins of this world, and He put them upon His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and poured out His wrath upon the Lord Jesus Christ in your behalf, in order that by you believing in Him as your Savior, could be in this great prayer. Now there is a day coming when He's going to have mercy on us, in the sense that He's going to save us out from His wrath. In other words, we're going up. The rapture is going to take place. The Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Our vile body shall be changed and made like unto His glorious body, and so forever be the Lord. But after that takes place, those that have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, they have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ in favor of keeping the law, working on their own salvation, doing good to their neighbor, and on and on. In other words, those people here are vessels of wrath fitted unto destruction. And so after the rapture takes place, then there's a period of time out there called the time of Jacob's trouble. It's called the wrath of God, and all hell is going to break loose on this world, and those that have rejected Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior are going to get his wrath. They are vessels of wrath. And you know what? Now you listen to me. If you do not trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior by saying no to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, you're saying to God, I'll take my position with those and be judged with them because I can stand the judgment. Hear me now. Every person in this world today that has heard the gospel of Christ, that have heard that Christ died for their sins, is buried and raised for them, and rejected that gospel in favor of being good, joining the church, getting baptized for remission of sins, keeping the law on and on. What they're doing is saying to God, I will be good enough that I can stand the fires of your judgment and not be hurt by them. You make the choice. And so God said, okay then, you've been fitted for that wrath, and it shall fall on you. Back to 2 Peter. In 2 Peter chapter 2, and notice in verse 12, but these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are in blemishes, spreading themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable fools, and heart they that exercise with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of righteousness. And he goes on and on and on. Judgment is going to fall. Now, there are several things about this judgment that Jesus Christ said, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Well, let's see what the Bible says about it then. Turn please to Hebrews 9 and look at verse 27. Hebrews 9, 27. The Bible said, Hebrews 9, 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Now, there are two kinds of judgment here. In other words, you can die and end up in judgment, or you can live after the rapture takes place and still go into judgment, dying in that judgment, and still come up at the other judgment, but no matter how, it's going to happen. Now, here's the thing. In Luke 16, Jesus said, in Luke 16, verse 19, there was a certain rich man, clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. So there was a beggar laid at great full of sewers, desiring to be fed from the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. More of the dogs came and licked his sores. He said the day came that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Now wherever that is, he was carried where there's peace, harmony, contentment at his death. He rested, he slept, he's peaceful, no more pain, no more misery, no more aching from his sores. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes being in torments. In other words, that rich man died, his body was put in the grave, and he went down into hell. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, Jesus said, being in torments, and he saw Abraham afar off, Lazarus in his bosom. And the Bible said that he cried, Father Abraham, send Lazarus, that he may dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in the flame. In other words, the flames of hell was looking all about that fellow. And that man who had had it made in his lifetime, who saw Lazarus there every day as he went through his gate, but he rejected the counsel of God against himself, and the day came about. I believe he's referred to in the Bible three times. Now, I may be wrong, I don't argue with everybody. I believe he's in there three times. Well, the Bible says that there was a rich young ruler that came running to Jesus, fell on his knees, and he said, "Good master, what good thing must I do that I might have eternal life?" Jesus said, "Keep the commandments." He said, "But I've kept the commandments. What else do I like?" He said, "Sell what you've got and give to the poor, and you'll have life. Come follow me." But that man went away sorry, thought they had great possessions. Now, I'm not trying to teach you that you can get saved by giving all what you got. But I believe that was shown about in Luke 12. In Luke 12, I believe it is, he said, there's this rich man sitting there, and he looks down and he said, "My, look at that. I'm just making so much in my fields this year, so my bones won't hold all my church. I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my bones and build bigger, and then I will store up my goods, and I'll say to my soul, soul, eat, drink, be merry." But God said, "Thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Then who shall these things be?" And then, I believe that man is the one of Luke 16. There's a rich man that fared sumptuously every day, clothed in purple and fine linen. But the rich man died, and his body was buried. But in hell, he lifted up his eyes in torments. And he said, "Sing louder, I'm tormented in this flame." And Abraham said, "You can't come to where we are. We can't go to where you are." He said, "Well, in that case, send somebody about to tell my five brothers not to come to this awful place of torment. That tells me you don't have to go. That tells me that if you don't want to go to hell, you can stop it. That tells me that if you go to hell, you go to hell because you chose to go there. That tells me that God Almighty is not trying to cast you in the hell. If he was, he'd already done it and got away. Well, you wouldn't feel a while now. That tells me that you got a free will, and you can trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and go to heaven when you die. You don't have to go to hell." But he said, "Tell them not to come to this place of torment." And he said, "They got Moses and the prophets, let them hear them." He said, "Oh, no, they won't believe Moses and the prophets." And he said, "If they won't believe Moses and the prophets, they wouldn't believe if one rose from the dead." And that's right, one did. Jesus Christ died, Jesus Christ went down to hell, and preached to the spirits in prison down there, said he has the keys of hell and death. He came up from there, rose from the dead, and for 1900 years, Jesus Christ has been preached that he resurrected from the dead. He's been preached as the Savior of men, and people still don't believe. They don't believe. They don't rose from the dead. And so folks say, "I believe if I could see a miracle." Well, that'll tell me that, isn't it? Somebody went out doing a lot of rich preaching and all kind of business and making people think that he's performing miracles. A real miracle performed in AD 33. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, rose from the dead. Don't you understand that? And people still don't believe. I bet there's somebody in here right now. You don't believe that. You think if that fellow just worked a miracle in my eyes, I'd say, you know. Nope. I'm no miracles. God Almighty worked the miracle when he raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and as big a miracle as you've ever known, man, would be the salvation of your mother dying soul tonight if you'd trust Christ. You say, "You want to see a miracle? Then trust Christ." You want to see a real transformation? Trust Christ. It's appointed unto men not to die, and after this the judgment. Then the Bible said, "I saw a great white throne of him that sat on it, from whose face heaven and earth fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And he said, the books are open. And he said, another book was opened, which is the book of life. And he said, the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death." Now, it doesn't make any difference if you miss the rapture and die in God Almighty's wrath on this world, and end up down in hell, or if you just die before that time and go down to hell, either way, you're going to be dragged out of there, and you're going to stand before Almighty God, and you're going to bow before Him and confess Christ to be Lord for the glory of God the Father. Either way, it's going to happen. We're on our confession tonight. Judgment is prophesied. Number two, the day is appointed. Look in Acts chapter 17. Acts 17 verse 30. And the times of this ignorance, God went that, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he raised him from the dead. Well, then God Almighty has appointed a day in which he's going to judge the world in righteousness. You know, I marvel at the attitude of people about death not from the Word of God. You know, people watch television, read books so long until they're not disturbed very much. I mean, there ain't a whole lot disturbed anybody anymore. I mean, World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, all the stuff that's here in place. I mean, they're not a whole lot disturbed people with. And so people are pretty tough, you know. I think about a fellow a few years ago up close to where my wife is raised. That fellow right down the gas truck. Pretty tough dude. That fellow cruising around there and lost control of that gas truck, and a jackknife on him, and it went into an embankment, and when he hit that embankment, it pinned that old boy in that cab, and it caught fire. I mean, that rough, tough guy, you know, kind of go outside and fight a chainsaw. I mean, you know, stone-faced, nothing moving. Well, I moved him. That's right. That fellow sitting there in the cab of that truck kind of said, I ain't afraid to die. He's sitting there in the cab of that truck putting in all them flames around. You know what he's doing? He's yelling at the top of the roof. Help! Somebody in the area, help me! I'm burning! Let somebody do something! You think you're tough? You're not tough. The God that created heaven and earth said, don't be afraid of men. They can kill the body, but once they've done that, there's nothing they can do. But he said, I'll tell you who to fear. For him that has the power to kill the body and the soul and to cast into hell after having killed. Fear him. That's the one to fear, folks. There's something that can move you. There's something that can stir you up. One night, I was driving home from Mobile. I used to teach a Bible class here in Pensacola, then go over to Mobile and teach over there the next night, and then I'd drive home to Selma, Alabama. I was up there right at some river, I'm not going to forget the name of that river now, but it has a drawbridge. And at night, a lot of times I would come there and there would be tugboats coming up that river, and that drawbridge would be up, and it'd be quiet as a mouse out there. And you could just hear the water, and you could hear the boat out there chugging along, and all that kind of thing. And this particular night, I'm sitting there waiting for that boat to get by, and there's a car came down the other side over there, and I can hear the people in that car, and they're having a party. They're carrying on certain things. I mean, they're happy. Laughing, going on, an Oldsmobile. There's a pickup truck. I saw that pickup coming down that hill over there, and I was thinking, why can't that be slowing down? I thought I better slow that thing down. And like as if he just woke up right at the end, got on the brakes real hard, and pow! He hit the back end of that Oldsmobile slammed into that bridge. And when that thing hit that tank, it exploded, and there was a little girl, a teenage girl, in my back seat. And she came out of that thing screaming her head off, and I watched, I stood stood there and watched as they chased that girl on that bridge over there with her hair and her clothing on fire, and they would grab her and handfuls of hair would come out, and that girl is screaming at the top of her voice, "Somebody do something! Somebody help me!" until she finally fainted. I read in the paper after then that the little girl died. She burned to death. Don't you tell me how tough you are. There are things that can happen that will loosen you up in a minute. Judgment is sure, folks. It's prophesied. The day is appointed. It's going to come as sure as you're in this room. I mean, you can hope and try and imagine and get your mind off it if you will, but it shall come. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. And you can bank on it, God has appointed the day of judgment for you, and you will show up. Now you don't want to go there, and you can avoid that. Jesus Christ took the judgment on your behalf. Jesus Christ was condemned by God the Father. That's why he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God turned his back upon his Son in your behalf. And he took your life that you might, by faith in him, have eternal life and never receive that wrath. It's appointed. It's going to come. Turning the Bible, please, to 2 Peter chapter 3, I noticed that the scene is described in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5. For this they willingly ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Come to verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things should be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be? In all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening to the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. In other words, the scene is described for you. It's described for you in Revelation chapter 8. It's described for you in Revelation chapter 16. There is no doubt about it. I think about when I was a little boy up in Alabama. One night, my brother had been off somewhere, probably doing something he had no business, and he came running in. Now, you must understand, no electric lights, no electricity. All the light we had was by a fireplace or by a lamp or whatever. Generally, everything is dark. There were no street lights and all that kind of business back then. I know I don't look that ancient to you. And my brother came charging in, and he's telling about this light. I remember it woke me up. I got up, and all our family got up, and we went out. And sure enough, and boy, I can just remember the hair standing up on the back of my neck. There's this big light that was over in the west of where we lived, and it would start over here, and it'd come across the sky. And it'd come back, and it's going back and forth. And then there were some people in some cars that came along, and my dad stopped them, and they're discussing, what in the world is that light? Everybody's all shook up. Everybody's all stirred up. There, people thought the Lord was coming. Turned out later on, found out that there was a train, and there was a train came to Op, Alabama, and to Elba, but Op, Alabama was about 6 miles straight across. They used to say the coal lines in front of our home. And that train had brought a whale, on one car, and they had this humongous searchlight. And they had that searchlight on. Oh, what are all about a searchlight? You never saw anything like that. They had that thing on, and it was slightly cloudy. And that thing was shining on those clouds, and it was an eerie-looking thought. Wouldn't be today. Wouldn't think anything about it today. But nobody seen anything like that then. And people got all shook up. What do you believe you'd do if there started to be a rumbling and a kind of a shaking, and the windows began to rattle, and then they began to fall, and you run outside, and you can see that the heavens are afire? I mean, literal fire is burning up there, and it's coming across. I mean, where do you think you'd go anyway? It wouldn't bother me. Wouldn't you be when Frederick came? I wondered, how come all them people getting jammed up on Highway 29 up there that obviously are not afraid of anything? I mean, you could preach to them under your throat blood and they say, I ain't afraid. Well, then what in the world are doing up there in the smoke of one another's exhaust, blowing their horns and trying to get further north? They're trying to get away from the hurricane, aren't they? Yeah, there's something that can get you shook up. I tell you what gets you shook up. It's going to get you shook up when the heavens begin to roll up and the earth begins to rock and to roll and tremble and shake and the windows begin to fall out and the roof begins to fall in. Then you're going to get shook up. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the facts. What are they? Judgment is going to fall on this world and you flat don't want to be here when it comes. Well, how do you get out? Trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and then when the rapture comes, he'll take you out, and then the wrath falls. But don't be here when it comes. It's prophesied, the day is appointed, the scene is described, the time is immediately after the age of grace. Turn in the Bible, please, and look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians 1:7 says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus should be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Come to chapter 2. In chapter 2, and notice, in verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, verse 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed. Now the he of verse 7, as far as I'm concerned, is the body of Christ. In other words, when the church which is the body is taken out of the way, then the Antichrist, the man of sin, will be revealed. The church which is the body of Christ is holding him off. Now, you know, there are people all over Pensacola, Florida, that want to get rid of the ones that are preaching the Bible. I was thinking about, it's so amusing me, not long ago, my wife and I were over at a grocery store close by here, and the boy brought the groceries out, and got out there, and we could hear a boy over there on the corner, and he was preaching. And that fellow made some smart aleck remark about that fellow preaching over there. So I began to ask him some things about it. Well, he didn't know what he's talking about. He didn't have the foggiest idea of what was going on. He didn't have the foggiest idea as to why the fellow did that. He didn't know Christ was his Lord and Savior. He didn't know anything about it. He just didn't think it was right for a fellow to get out there and scream his head off like that. You know, there are people all over this town that will be delighted and be happy when there ain't nobody on the street corners anymore with a Bible in their hand. There won't be any churches where people are preaching the gospel of Christ anymore. They think they'll be delighted. They think, well, they won't be out of the way. Well, bless your soul, the only reason of God's wrath hadn't already fallen is because we're still here. If we leave, it's goodbye, man. If we leave, it's Katie by the door. It's just like old Noah getting in that ark. Noah got in that ark, and God shut the door, and after God shut that door, all hell broke loose. And I imagine those people scratched with their fingernails on the side of that ark trying to get in that thing. I bet you before then they said, you old coot, I wish something had happened to you. Why, you old rascal, why don't you shut up? I mean, what do you know anyway? Well, I went to school. Is that right? Yeah, I learned to read and to write. And I believe Jethro said, cipher. And the Bible said Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Can you imagine what effect that had on him? And old Noah probably just kept on hammering and preaching. And they laughed and the scorn, and the day came when, sure enough, lo and behold, what he prophesied really did come to pass. And in my mind's eye, I can see him clawing on that thing with their fingernails. And I can see somebody, you listen to me now, somebody, somewhere, the last one, climbing the highest tree on the highest mountain, probably with a baby in their arms, and holding the baby up like that, trying to avoid that water. And finally, drown with all the rest of the wicked. As sure as you're born, when the rapture comes, the wrath will come. Look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the blindness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now let's try that again. Verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Because what? Because they danced and played cards? No. Because they were sinful? No. Because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, what cause? Receive not the gospel of Christ. Receive not the love of the truth. Why will you get the wrath? Because you reject the gospel. You say, well, I'm not rejecting it, I'm just not receiving it. To refuse to receive is to reject. They received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for that cause, God gave them strong delusion. They believed a lie, Antichrist, and was damned in God's judgment. And there's no difference with anyone in this room that rejects Christ. If you receive not the love of the truth, then you will be damned. No ifs and ands about it. Just as sure as that rich man died, was buried, and in hell lift up his eyes, is that sure that everybody that misses the rapture is damned in the wrath of God? And they'll die in that wrath and end up in hell, later on be dragged out to appear before the judgment. What is the basis? The basis of the judgment is rejection of the truth. That's what it says. They received not the love of the truth. Turn, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Notice in verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. In other words, the wrath then won't fall on you because of your trespasses. The wrath will fall on you because you refused to receive the only means of salvation. Your trespasses was imputed to Christ. God put your trespasses to his account and killed him in your stead. But if you reject him, if you refuse to receive the love of the truth, then you're going to get it over there. Why will you get the wrath? Because you received not the love of the truth. People say, go to hell for lying. No, you go to hell for receiving not the love of the truth, that you might be saved. So you go to hell for murder. No, Jesus Christ paid for the murder. Jesus Christ paid for the sin. You go to hell for refusing to believe in Christ as your Savior. Such a simple thing.
That's what's so amazing about it. It is so simple. But you see, it's involved in pride. And pride is your biggest enemy. Turn please to John. In John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. If you believe in Jesus, your Lord and Savior, then you're not condemned. If Jesus Christ is your Savior, if you've claimed him, received him, and trusted him, then you're not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Why will men burn? Because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And then the last thing, what is the escape? Well, it's the rapture. It's the rapture. Turn to Galatians. I look in Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 3. Galatians chapter 1, verse 3. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. The word deliver there is two words that are put together in Greek. It's ex-ao, I suppose. E-X. A-I-R-E-O. X is out. It's away from. X. In other words, like ex-husband. Away from. X. In other words, out. Away from. A-O is translated carry in John 6:10. It's translated remove in Matthew 21:21. It's translated lift in Revelation 10:5. It's translated bear up in Matthew 4:6. It's translated pluck out in Matthew 5:29. In other words, those that have trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior are going to be plucked out of this world. They're going to be caught out. They're going to be carried up. They're going to be borne up. How many ways does God have to say it? Turn to Romans chapter 5, verse 9. Verse 1. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, if you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God is not mad at you. See? In other words, if Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, then God don't get angry at you. You've got peace with God. There's no enmity between the believer and Almighty God. And so he won't get mad at you. He won't get angry at you. He won't pour his wrath out on you. Being justified. We have peace, you see. How? By faith. Justification by faith. Now, verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we should be saved from wrath through him. In other words, then, God is going to save those from his wrath that believe in Jesus as the Lord and Savior. Will you believe in him as your Savior? Will you trust him? Will you claim him? I'll go back again tonight as I have night after night. You see, there has to be a time in your life when you make that decision. You see, if an individual received not the love of the truth and might be saved, then there'd have to be a day when those who did it received the love of the truth. Okay? I mean, how could you all your life have received well, of our work, you see. Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. So when did you get lost? When were you a lost sinner? When were you under conviction, recognizing your sin, recognizing your righteousness was no good, and understanding that, realizing judgment was coming, and knowing that you received the gospel of Christ? You believed that he died for your sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again for you.
When did you do that? What is the day you did that? Where in your life can you remember a day that you received Christ?
Knowing you're lost, knowing you're looking there, afraid that you're going to go into hell, afraid you're going to fall off into hell, and being afraid and being condemned,
received the love of the truth in order that you might be saved out before the wrath falls. If there is not a time in your life that you can nail that down, if I were you, I wouldn't take a chance. It may be tonight that the rapture comes. Will you not miss it? Well, I don't know for sure. I bet you somebody said that about the flood. And sure enough. You see, folks say, well, it got cloudy. I don't believe there was a cloud in the sky when the flood came. You understand me? As I read back there, there's every indication back there that all of a sudden just boom, and the water began to rise, and the water began to come down. And in a matter of a very short time, they were drowned. Will you trust Christ?